The majority of culture in American history comes down from Judeo-Christian values, Judeo-Christian ethics, still very strong, now a mix. But always in America, there's been a little bit of Greek and Roman thoughts. One difference is that Jewish people did not vote on their leader. Greeks did. Greeks had a democracy. And the American thought from the beginning as not having a king and voting on things. Another Greek culture thing that came down is we are sports crazy, and they were sports crazy. True, there was no football in Corinth. As we look at the New Testament letter of Paul to the Corinthians, there was no football games in Greece. But they were about the same attitude towards track and field and wrestling. So we come to 1 Corinthians 9. And in the previous weeks, we have looked at some things are right and wrong, and some things basically are personal decisions and choices. Some things the Bible says is right and wrong. Thou shalt not lie, steal, kill, so forth, commit adultery, they're right and wrong. Other things are the way you choose to do it. You just choose to do it. So Paul could go one way, he can go the other way. When he's around Jewish people, I'm sure he did not work on Saturdays and he did not eat pork. But when he was around Gentile people, he kind of would understand that the Corinthians were very interested in sports. And so that comes to the final section of 1 Corinthians 9. We could go verse by verse, but I decided to read the whole thing. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. That's a very good description, wreath. But we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim, have a goal. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I beat my body and make it my slave and disciplined. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Worshipping sports makes a crummy God. It is not the reason to live. Yet there are some good lessons for life that can be applied to other areas in life. Mainly Christian living here, but also I would say academics and business and so forth. And we kind of look at the way people do sports, especially running. It should not be the top of life. Bodily exercise profits a little, said Paul in 1 Timothy 4:8, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So there's some value in athletics and sports. It's not wrong, not the reason to live, but do learn a little bit about it. They run, Greek word is trek, that kind of come down. They run the race. Race is stadium. So they trek the stadium. Those are the words. Corinth and many Greek cities had games. We're most familiar with the Olympics. Started a long time ago, 776 BC. And went on for 1,200 years. Then stopped. We have the modern Olympics. That started again in 1896. But they still kind of do what the ancients did and light the torch and run it all the way to the stadium. Olympics next year in Paris. I kind of looked, how long will they be taking the torch around? The answer is 68 days. 10,000 different people So they're going to make a big show out of it. But they did that in the Corinthian times, in Corinth. In Olympus. But the Corinthians had their own games. They were called the Isthmus Games, and Isthmus we don't use too often, but that's a narrow stretch of land between two great bodies of water. And Corinth was on the Isthmus, so their running was the Isthmus Games. So you have Mount Olympus up north in Greece. Then you also had Corinth, which Paul wrote them a letter. Both had games. There were a lot of others. I won't list them all. We give medals, and we put them on a strap around their neck, and they stand on a podium, and they play the national anthem and thank for them. They gave wreaths, and it's kind of like Christmas wreaths. It depends what city you're talking about, what they gave. We would say a garland. The Olympic Games gave olive wreaths. The Corinthians gave pine branches. They're actually a little bit more used to pine branches. So they would run and they would wrestle, and it was a very interesting to them. They also would throw javelins, which we do, but it's really, you can tell it's kind of ancient because we don't do it outside of any type of sporting games. We don't usually go outside and throw javelins. Don't throw discuses. Sports are not a good God, but there are some truths from sports which we can apply to other areas in life. Number one, the Christian life takes discipline. In King James, we have striving here in verse 25. In the New American Standard, NIV, we have the word compete. Now, the Greek word is agonizo, agony. Which is true. I think, though, if they translated it literally, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense because we think of agony after a car accident. But that's the way real sports actually is. It's tough. It's discipline. It's hard. Now, you have all these Bible verses about the Holy Spirit giving a believer power. But my short way of saying it is the Holy Spirit does not direct a parked car. If we don't do anything, if we don't take action, if we don't try, not much gets done. Now, if we try, then the Holy Spirit will give power. So you see, they're both true. The Holy Spirit gives power. On the other hand, we have to try. Or the illustration here is if we have to run the race. If we choose to do nothing, then nothing much will happen. Here, the references to discipline. We'll read a couple of other verses shortly, but Philippians 3:13 is also discipline. And in Philippians 3, Paul wasn't talking about a 100-yard run. He was talking about all of life. So the best illustration we could think of is the marathon, which that comes from Greece too. When the Persians came in and the Greeks beat them, the runner ran 26 miles to give the message, "Rejoice, we conquer." So a marathon is a long, disciplined run. In Christian living, it's the whole time. Agonizo, but not so much an injury. Agonizo in the sense of discipline. A second thought is having a good goal. The goal is set before me, it will say in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, the goal cannot be earning salvation because the Bible teaches salvation is by trusting in Jesus. Ephesians 2:9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not of works which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. So they're not talking here about running to try to earn salvation. The reference would be running to try to get more rewards. All who believe in Jesus will get to heaven, but there will be different level of rewards. Sometimes, as in here, the illustration of rewards is crowns. Quite a few of them. We won't go through the whole list. But here is a crown. Sometimes it's a gold crown. Here would be the picture of just being the winner, and a garland or a plant wreath crown. So planning to get more rewards. The goal. Okay, discipline towards a goal. Specifically here is more rewards. On the other hand, there are parallel verses where the goal is getting to Jesus and getting His approval. Not getting salvation, but getting to Jesus at the end in heaven and getting His approval. Now, if you'll please take your Bibles, we'll look at a couple of more sports verses in the New Testament. One would be Philippians 3, if you can find that. And then we'll read more of Hebrews chapter 12. So we'll do Philippians 3 and then a little bit more of Hebrews chapter 12. Ken had read a little bit of it already, but this one will be a little bit longer. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Discipline was number one. Having goals is number two. Getting home with Jesus is the goal and getting His approval. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. That is perfection in the context. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I don't look back when I'm running, reaching forward to that which lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize, not salvation, rewards, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So the attribute is discipline. The goal is getting into Jesus' presence. The goal would be running the spiritual race and getting up to Jesus and then getting His approval. We've already read a little bit of Hebrews chapter 12, but I will read more because Hebrews chapter 12 has Jesus at the finish line, but then others will be waiting also. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And Ken read part of it. I like looking up. Therefore, since we have a great cloud up there in heaven of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easy slows us down, entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Discipline again, but now goal. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, He started it, He will end, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Him, so that you will not grow weary in your life's race, and you will not lose heart. So discipline and the goal is greater reward. The goal is also someday being with Jesus. And the stress in both verses is being with Jesus. The additional reference here in Hebrews 12 is there are other people who have gone on before. And believe me, been thinking about that this week. But there are other people who have gone on before, and arrival in heaven is the presence of Jesus, but also being around other Christians who have departed and are already there. So when we think of the goal, we think that sometimes people arrive in heaven and give news of what has been happening. Do people in heaven watch down here all the time? Boy, I don't think so. They'd be like watching the news all the time. Well, I don't think heaven would be heaven if they're 24/7 watching what all goes down here. But I think they get update. When a person arrives in heaven, at the very least, they have others. Well, what's happening in Amarillo? What's happening with our family? What's happening with this church? What's happening with that church? What's happening with the United States? So running a good spiritual race has a goal, and the goal is greater rewards. The goal is also getting Jesus' approval. And the ultimate goal then is arrival upwards and telling other people what has happened. So number one lesson from sports is discipline, trying real hard in the marathon and the long distance run. Number two is having goals. Now, our actual text in 1 Corinthians was reward, crowns, but also goals of getting Jesus' approval and being able to show other people up above what good we have done. There's a third aspect of Christian living, which is like running, and it is the idea of comparison. Now, I think the Bible teaches us not to compare ourselves to other people. To compare ourselves mainly to, are we doing the best we can? And are we doing better than we did in the past? Well, I would say it's more comparison with self. In an actual sporting event, you do compare yourself to other people. Although I think comparison and running would be true, and I would have to apply these other verses. Don't compare yourself to other Christians. We'll be glad when they run very well. We'll be glad when they make accomplishments. Compare yourself to what is the best you can do. And then compare yourself to whether you're getting a little bit better. Well, I didn't know what illustrations to use. It got nothing to do with the Bible, but I remember the people I used to run against. One of them became the national champion of a relay race. There's four of them, but he was the national champion. On the other hand, he got arrested later for taking drugs while he was running. So it made me wonder if the whole time I was racing him, if he weren't on drugs. I saw him cut his foot on a broken glass one time. He didn't do a thing. He didn't stop. So maybe. Another one, watched him on the news later, George Bush sent him over to Iran to rescue hostages. And then there was another one, which got nothing to do with anything, but his last name was Troyer. And that might not be familiar, but there is a Vern Troyer who is mini-me, the little midget. On the Austin Powers movie, they're all cousins. And from our hometown and live right down the road from my mom and dad. So anyway, it's kind of hard in a real race not to compare to other people or remember them. But as far as comparison to other Christians, I think we should not compare ourselves to other Christians. We should want them to do very good. We could compare to whether we're doing the best we can, and we could compare to whether we are actually getting better in life or not. So discipline is number one, trying hard. Number two is goal, mainly looking unto Jesus and getting His approval, but also goal of getting greater crowns. Number three is comparison. And here I think we should say compare to self, better than in the past, doing all we can do. The final thought is disqualification. And we see that in verse 27. Disqualification. Now, this is not talking about salvation by works. It's not talking about being disqualified to enter heaven. We're saved by faith. Not by works, trusting in Jesus, but there can be such a thing as missing out on rewards. And there are other Bible verses that warn us not to miss out on rewards. That's what I think Paul is talking about here, disqualification. But Apostle John Watch yourselves that you not lose what you have accomplished, but that you receive a full reward. 2 John 8. Revelation 3:13, which is also written by the Apostle John, Jesus quoting, "I am coming quickly, hold fast to what you have, so that no one will take your crowns." So, not disqualified from entrance to heaven, but disqualified from getting the most reward. And the Apostle Paul did not want to be disqualified from getting the most reward. So, disqualification, I think, in a Christian sense, could be doing a lot of things, but not really caring about whether Jesus gets exalted. Doing a lot of things for self-attention. So, in a real sports event, disqualification is running before they whistle. Disqualification would be running through the inside of the track, so it's less miles, it's less yards. Get on the other side of the stadium where no one can see you and kind of running over this way. Disqualification. Disqualification, mostly in Christian living, though, is either not doing anything or not doing what is right as far as giving God attention. And it's only self-attention. So Paul didn't want to be disqualified, and John said, don't lose your rewards. Every time I think of sports, I think mostly of men, by the way. Now, ladies can do runners, too, but I think of men watching football games. And I have noticed this for years around people. There's people around town that at the end of the day, they will tell you every score today. So-and-so played so-and-so, the score was such-and-such. So-and-so played so-and-so, the score was such-and-such. Such-and-such a quarterback passed so many times and so many were received. They went this number of yards, they went that number of yards, and that is okay, but if you ask the same people to give me the books of the Bible, they can't do it. It's not IQ. It's interest. Because there are Christians that can do both. They know the Bible very, very well. And if they like to have sports, that's fine. They know all the sports statistics very, very well. But it's very, very common for great attention on secondary. I would not say evil, but if it's God, it's kind of weird. It's secondary. Even got lessons from it today. Doesn't have to be wrong. But the interest and attention is amazing. I actually have tried this in the past. I don't try it with you guys here, but what happened today in football? This. And then I do this. What does it say in Romans 3:20? I've actually done that. Oh, I don't remember that one. That's a matter of interest. It's not a matter of IQ. So, discipline, Greek word is agony, striving, working hard, goal-oriented, partly getting a crown, but mainly goal-oriented, getting at the end Jesus' approval, being able to give a good report to all those that have passed on before, comparison. I would say mainly about, are we doing better than we did in the past? Are we doing the best that we can do? Not so much comparison to other Christians. Who's the best person? Who's the best church? We'd like them all to be good people and all to be good churches. Disqualification would be usually working and doing churchy work, but not for the exaltation of Jesus. And Paul says he did not want to be disqualified. Well, the last part of 1 Corinthians 9 is about trying hard. We get to 1 Corinthians 10 next time, and it will be about staying away. Trying hard, you run the race. And then he's going to talk about temptation. He'll talk about staying away. That'll be next week. The musicians, please come.